Welcome to Jesus-Centric Life. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we're talking about multiplying leaders without losing the mission. Pastor, how would you define the DNA of a Jesus-centric leader? Like, if you were going to build the Jesus-centric leader, what would it look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is where, like, our mission statement is really helpful as a church. Like, and for us, it's because of Jesus, love, equip, go. And so it's somebody that understands that the fullness of who they are is found in Jesus, and then the seeking to do things for the people around them. And I think that's really the key. But then, I mean, don't miss this. And 2 Corinthians, Paul says, in Christ, you are a new creation. Behold, the old is gone, the new has come. And so I think, like, anyone that knows Jesus is a Jesus-centric leader. Like, isn't that kind of what he's saying? Like, and push back if you disagree, but like, in Christ, you're a new creation. Behold, the old has gone, the new has come. And so, like, maybe the only criteria is that you're a baptized believer in Jesus Christ and have the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Like, yeah, some level.
That's crazy, because before we started, I was like, oh, ask me for an example and I can give you a couple. And then as you gave that definition, that just opens it up all the more, because the old is gone, the new has come.
Yeah.
And so, do I have to be a leader? Do I have to look a certain way? Do all of the people who are on mission, are they going to be this perfect definition?
Yeah. Although with that though, like, I don't think it takes away from what you were initially thinking. Because the reality is, Paul does say, follow me as I follow Christ. And so, like, a Jesus-centric leader is someone who's embodying what Paul's saying. He's saying, hey, here am I. And I won't even put, it's not Paul's language, but I want to even put Paul's, like, I would say striving. Like, there's somebody that's trying to follow Christ and figure out what it looks like. And he's saying, or she's saying, hey, do you want to come alongside of me? Do you want to be a part of this with me? And that's a Jesus-centric leader. I think the part that is important that we can't miss is there is a difference from saying you're a new person in Christ. Behold, the new has gone. The old has gone. The new has come. And that person taking that and saying, well, I'm good. I'm just going to come to church.
Right.
Or I'm just going to sit at home and read my Bible. Or I'm like, there's a difference in that and saying, no, because the old has gone, the new has come. Now I'm a leader and I can teach other people to follow Christ as I follow Christ. There is a distinction there, right?
Right.
Because I'm answering the call to what Jesus has called me to do versus I'm just receiving. Is that?
Yeah. No, I hear you. So the person that I'm actually thinking of is like an Aaron Steele, whose life went through some rocky. He was
on the podcast
a few months ago. Yeah. And he went through some challenging times, and then he really embraced his relationship with Jesus. It was life changing in him. Mm-hmm. And the ways that God has used him and aligned him into ministry has been amazing, especially for somebody who has watched him grow up and watched him grow into this new call that God's given him.
Yeah. But he's been very intentional, like, about who do I get to lead and who gets to be a part of my life. And I would just say, like, I'm blessed from Aaron. Like, he's such an encouragement to me. Like, I feel really built up, like God's working through me when I talk through Aaron. And that's, like, that's a gift that he's given to me, right? Like, and I think that's him not just saying, behold, the old is gone, the new has come, but that's him saying, behold, the old is gone, the new has come. Thanks be to God. Now, what do I get to do?
Yeah.
What's my role in the kingdom? And those are questions that he does wrestle with and struggles with, and questions that we all need to, right?
Yeah.
But I think the difference from a leader is a leader's, I think, just ask simply looking at the people around them and asking, what good can I do here? Like, I think that's all it takes to be a leader, is to begin to ask that question and then act on what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do.
So We kind of went different than you thought we were going to go. But I like it. So you're kind of the gatekeeper for the mission of the church. God gave you that call, that vision for where peace could go. We've all kind of crafted the language of it together. But you're kind of, I mean, just for the sake of this conversation, a little bit of the gatekeeper. Is it hard for you to release control and protect the mission and raise up leaders all at the same time?
Oh, absolutely. The thing that helps, though, is I try to think of myself less as the gatekeeper and more as, I guess to use our word, like an equipper. Like I want to equip you to keep it in line. And I find that the time when I do become a gatekeeper is when it involves ministries outside of ourselves, not when it becomes our people. Generally our people.
Okay, explain that a little bit.
So we'll have this group asking for this or that group asking for this, or these people want to do this or those people want to do this. And that's a little harder because I want to be a yes person. But generally with our people, I find that they understand the mission. And if they want to do something, generally it's a yes. Like I have a whole lot more no's when it comes to our people have a passion to do something than I do with outsiders, because generally our people, now again, there's some complexities with like how we share the building, how we, where we put stuff up that affects everybody. Like there's some complexities there, but generally right. When it comes to actually, this person wants to have a car show. Well, how do we make sure we share Jesus within it? Like that's a whole lot easier.
It's the intentionality.
Yeah. But it's more challenging probably with the building because there is a limited amount of space in our building, a limited amount of time that people can use it. That's probably the harder part where it becomes a little more gatekeeper-y. But when it comes to our people, if you've got a passion, my job is to help you to take that passion and use it for kingdom purposes.
Yeah, I was just thinking a really great example. I came to you with a mission trip. Disaster relief that I viewed as a disaster. It was mm-hmm. It was incredibly awful. I said, I think we should take a team. I know this is very out of the box. It's a little bit different for us. And you asked some very defining questions that I couldn't answer. And usually you're pretty on board. And this time you were like, I need you to think through these things. And if you can come back and say truly yes or no, then I can give my blessing to it or not. And I couldn't. And so I had to let that one go.
Yeah.
But it was really good because it gave a piece of accountability. And it was better use of our resources and all those things that you are responsible for in a sense.
Yeah, and I think that's why I don't like, so the gatekeeper idea, it kind of has this idea that everything funnels through me right. And then ministry happens, where I would rather have you decide to close that gate. And mm-hmm. So if I can use what you're bringing to me that you are interested in doing, like as an opportunity to teach you and ask questions about how we're following Christ and how we're being obedient to him, then that's actually the better I think the better place to live. And again, there's some times where I do have to say no, and that's going to happen. And some of you have listened to this have probably had me say no to you at certain points. But generally, I like you to come to that solution on your own. And that's more what I mean, that I get to equip you to follow God's purposes.
Well, I think the good thing with you also is when you've been hesitant, at least with me and something that I've wanted to do, you've also been willing to look at yourself also. So there's times where you're like, well, I guess that really is not a bad idea. Let's give it a shot. So as a person is taking that time to kind of maybe bring clarity and what is God calling us to do, you're also doing the same thing. And that's good when you can kind of meet part way.
Yeah. And we could probably go on and on about this, but I think that's my role, is to make sure too that like the ministry you're trying to do isn't impacting others negatively. I think like when we do the right ministry, it should be it should be good for what you're trying to do and good for God's people as a whole. And so that's something that we try to keep in mind too.
All right. So what's the difference between equipping a leader and finding a warm body?
So the big thing I look for is, I think a warm body implies that, and I don't want to, there's a place for this. There is. But a warm body is, hey, I've got this list of tasks. Which one do you think you want to do? Right. Or it's saying, and we do this sometimes, and we probably should. We call somebody up and we say, hey, I think we could use your help here. How do you feel about
right.
it? But the thing I always try to say when I do those asks is, hey, it's only Holy Spirit led. I feel led, and this is why that you should do this. But it's only Holy Spirit led if you feel the same way, right? Like the great example for this is if a dude goes up to a chick and says, hey, God says I should marry you. Like the chick gets the chance to discern as well, right? Like nobody would say that's crazy. And so I think the same thing is when we approach you as staff and say, hey, would you consider doing this? But I think that the best time when it's not, so your discernment, if you agree that, yeah, I could do it, that means you're not just a warm body. God has called you. But the other one that I think is even better, is when somebody comes out to us and say, hey, I have this passion for that. I have this passion for this to happen.
Right.
I think about, Bob Miller came to me and he was like, hey, I want to lead the Bible classes. I know you got a lot on your plate. Can I take that off? And I'm like, yeah, praise God. Like, I'll keep doing it. Let me know how I can be involved. And him and I meet every once in a while, and he's good to go. But he takes care of doing that for us. And he had that passion to do it. And I think there's more longevity in it too when he has the passion to do it.
Don't you feel like peace is striving more and more to do the second rather than the first? I feel like there was a time when our ministries were so strung out and so we just had so many things going on. We were more program based that we were trying to fill a lot of gaps. And I feel like we've turned this corner where we really are trying to understand how God has gifted you and what you are passionate about and what you're excited about and how can we partner with you. To do that, to equip you, to help you.
Yeah.
And if you're good to go, praise God for that. And if there's something that we can do, praise God for that, because we want you to be successful in how he's blessed you and gifted you.
Yeah, no, I think for sure. I think there was a time in my ministry when I really worried, like, are we going to have enough volunteers to make this Sunday morning happen? Because it takes a lot of volunteers. And now I've kind of broken up with being worried about that. Like, because the reality is it's not what I want from you as volunteers, it's what I want for you. Right. Like if you're doing ministry, like God builds your faith. He works for you to understand the fullness of Christ through you doing ministry. And so I want you to be involved in ministry, not because I'm worried about peace having all its volunteers filled. God's going to provide for that. We do need volunteers. Like, it's no lie. We always do. But it's not so much because I don't want you to volunteer because I want something from you. I want something for you.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. Have you ever experienced a leader that you've equipped, empowered, and they begin to drift from the mission? And why do you think that happens? What's happening when that takes place?
Yeah, that's a great one. I don't know that.
You can see now that we're not scripted
because
he's a loss for words a little bit.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to. There was one person in New York, I remember it, and it wasn't necessarily her drifting from the mission, but just needing to be recalibrated, right? And I think it was really early on when I came in. I think she had this notion that I should be the only one teaching people how to share their faith, and I made it pretty clear that, like, no, we're going to do this together. Like, you've got a passion for it. Like, why don't you teach a class on that? Why don't you do this? And I think that was kind of important, because I think we all drift in, I'm going to say it this way. We all naturally drift back to how we were originally discipled. And so she was very much discipled in this church staff do the ministry. And she was even, she thought everybody should share their faith, but she thought we should be the only ones equipping. And I wanted to convince her really quick, no, like we're all called to do this ministry. We're all called to build up the body of Christ. And you have this passion for this to happen. So maybe this is God telling you, you should do it.
Yeah.
And she ended up being a really big ally. But I think like we naturally drift back to how we were originally discipled. And the reality is I probably discipled people wrong. And so previous generation, no, I also just, I have discipled people incorrectly. Like it does happen. And so like that means that we're going to drift back to incorrect things.
Yeah. I think there's another piece too. I think it's sometimes when people aren't serving in their gift area.
Yeah.
And there's a frustration that can build and then they do start drifting from the mission because they can't really see it. I had a volunteer and a very gifted volunteer, amazing, but I needed somebody to lead this, and she was willing, but that wasn't her gift area. And the frustration that I put her through in having her lead that ministry was really big. And she finally just kind of broke down, and it became a struggle for the people that were trying to follow her. And I finally was like, hey, what if we just stop and give you a season of rest, bring you back in this capacity, and because I just don't think this is your giftedness. It was a hard conversation. It was very hard. But it was a blessing, too, because I think she was able to see that I cared more for her than just a gap filler. I really wanted her to experience success, but it was not in the gift mix.
Yeah, and I think sometimes too, like as we're talking about this, sometimes the frustration too that we encounter with leaders, so we got to be careful, is that we're not in a place or a position where we can change the culture as quickly as we want it to, right? Like if you're serving...
Give an example of that.
I'll do one, a non-concrete one because... So you're serving in a ministry where you're gung-ho and you're focused on excellence and you want it done a certain way. And you have these people that are gathered around you, but they're kind of not... They're not in it quite as much as you are.
Right.
Like, how do you change that culture, right? Because you need the people to help you. You don't want to just do it by yourself. But the people you're serving with kind of are maybe, in your mind, dropping the ball. And so the hard part about that is some of that is a cultural thing of our church that we still need to grow into this servant leadership thing. And part of that, you only have so much ability to change. And so how do you accept them where they are and try to build into them versus just expecting them to get it? And that's sometimes a hard thing for people that are very high functioning, right? And some of the things we need to always do a better job of as staff in that is make sure that if you are a high functioning leader, that we put you around and serving with other high functioning leaders, because sometimes that way you can build a culture when a few of you are working on that together. I think about like...
That's a really good...
I think about really like, well, and a great example with that excelled, and now neither one of them are in leadership of it, although is Sarah and Erica with MOPS. Like the two of them working together with MOPS, we built out a fantastic MOPS program.
Right.
And they were able to step out of it, and the hope, and I guess Erica's still a mentor, but she's not in leadership. Neither one of those them are in leadership, but I think I have a lot of faith that there's going to be a great MOPS group still. And so like, I think sometimes putting two high functioning leaders, and they were very different. And so,
yeah, they complemented each other very
they
well.
They did. And so, but yet like, I think we probably need to do a better job of that, is putting a few high functioning leaders together as opposed to like spreading them out. But I think that can sometimes be frustrating, is that we have to understand that what the time you have to give isn't the time either somebody else can't give because of their other time constraints,
right,
or they haven't learned how to give that time to it. And so, because the reality is probably you can look at them and say, well, I'm just as busy as you are. Well, let's remember, maybe they just haven't learned to give that time in the same way that you have.
Yeah. And as you're saying this, this whole new thought came to me. And we have to acknowledge the grief of someone who is letting a ministry that they love and poured into and serve so well go. Like that, that's hard.
Yeah.
I'm experiencing that.
Right. This is real. This is real and raw for you, right? This moment, right?
It is. As we're recording this, tomorrow the mission trip leaves to go to North Carolina, and Thomas is leading that, and I'm not going.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, people don't really know how to respond to that. They're like, yay, Thomas is leading. And yay, Donna finally gets a break. But that's not how I view it, because I love that ministry. I started that ministry. And so there is a grieving that goes on when we love something so much. And at the same time, we have to hand that off and equip the next person to be able to lead it. And Thomas is going to knock it out of the park. And I'm so thankful he's there. But it can be tough to let go of ministry too.
Yeah. And I think that's what I hope we focus on too, is that, like, if you're a leader of something right now and you're listening to this, that you're always looking and asking the question, like, who could lead this after me?
Yes.
Like, because, like, begin to, it's weird to say, but begin to plan your exit strategy now.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a great, and not, you might be there for five more years, but if you, would the ministry be better if you had a co-leader? Would you like to go start another ministry? Is there something else you have a passion for? If you can hand this one off to somebody that can take it to the next level, you can go start something new. And you know, and I think we always got to be thinking about that. Like, what is our exit strategy in ministry? Because that focuses us on building, not just getting the ministry done, but who are we building into as we're doing this ministry?
Yeah, there's a thing that happens on a Wednesday of a mission trip. And what happens is you realize that you only have one more day. So usually the average mission trip is Monday through Thursday, and Friday we travel or do some fun with the students.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday, you feel it's crunch time.
Mm.
So if the drywall's not up all the way, if the framing's not done, whatever it is. And AIM, Adventures in Missions, has taught me somebody came before you, and somebody will come after you. And having that knowledge has really helped me to speak into other leaders and to be able to say, it's okay.
Yeah.
If nobody came before you, and like with the disaster relief, you started that like I did. So maybe you are the first. But there's somebody that's coming behind me that God's called and given the passion and given the heart.
Yeah.
And there's a peace that comes with that.
Yeah.
I might miss not being there, but I have all peace that they aren't going to miss it, and they're going to be able to move forward with what God's called them to do, and they're going to do great. And that's okay.
Yeah, and that I think is a good reminder that, like, the mission ultimately is God's.
Amen.
Like, this church is God's. The ministry you're leading is God's.
Yeah.
The ministry you're a part of is God's. And so, like, I don't know. Use that to your advantage and put the pressure on Him.
Yeah.
Like, let the pressure on Him. You enjoy being in ministry. You enjoy what God has called you to do. Keep raising more people up. But yeah, just enjoy what you get to do.
And He loves it way more than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. All right. So I want to close with a what if.
What if? Okay.
All right.
These are fun.
So if Peace with Christ were to double in size tomorrow, could our current leadership structure adapt without losing the mission? And what would it need to look different or not? Could we continue with the mission even though we grew in size?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I guess a few things. My first thought is, like, if God gives us that growth, He's going to give us the ability to, like, to manage it and handle it and thrive in it, I guess. There'd be some things that, but that would need to change, but like the mission's the mission. Like, and the mission was given to us by God, and that's what we all get to hold each other accountable to and have discussions around and challenge. So yeah, I think there's enough of us that understand and live and breathe the mission and know the mission that like the mission of peace isn't changing.
Yeah. The mission is bigger than any one of
us. And yeah. The mission is not going to change when, you know, when I retire from here. It's not going to change when you retire, which will be a few years before me, right? Like, you know, the mission is, it's about Jesus, and he's going to guard and protect it, and we get to be faithful to it if he gives us growth or if he doesn't give us growth.
Amen. Amen. And we strive for that faithfulness every single day. Thank you so much for your time, Pastor. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week.